19th of February. And been many meetings. We got city staff here, Alderman Culp, Alderman Clocher, Alderman Cornelius, working remote. First order, are there any citizens on?
Nope.
All right. Let's go ahead and review the minutes. Maybe even December, if I'm not mistaken. Good?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Ken, can you do the first item for me, please? Or Joe?
Budget reports.
Yeah, admin 2025 dash budget reports for January.
Okay, so if everybody wants to flip to either PDF page 122 of the packet, or if you've got it in person, it's basically the revenues for the month ending January 31st. So I've completed the sales tax modeling analysis for the past several months, as I said I would do several months ago. The $565,000 municipal sales tax item that hits January 25th is our largest month ever by far. So that represents when we received it in January. For October, it's October, I believe. What month of disbursement was that, Rob?
It's October. Yeah.
It was October.
Yep.
Consumer sales.
Correct.
Okay. So pre-Christmas sales, so, you know, not out of the question that they would start to increase, but, you know, a huge spike like that, see our largest one ever, is usually not the case. That usually comes in December for consumer sales. So Rob and I had dug into that a little bit because it was way over what we expected. It was up like 40% from the year prior. And, you know, basically, we determined that there was a one-time audit and disbursement of revenues from some businesses in town, according to the state Department of Revenue. So that accounts for about 40 grand of that total. And then there's another, we think, about $40,000 that can be explained by another change in sales tax methodology at the state level. In general, what is going to happen is sales that were previously categorized as use tax, which is generally going to be some online sales from out-of-state retailers. I'm way oversimplifying that, but just, you know, online sales are going to be reclassified from use tax to sales tax. And that should be happening on a one-to-one basis generally, so that when things shift over, our use tax is going to decrease and our sales tax should increase, but the net should be zero. Okay, so we did see that in that month, where use tax went down about 40 grand, which is about where we expect it to be monthly going forward. The annualized basis should be about a $34,000 monthly swing between sales tax and use taxes. But if you add the 40 together for the one-time audit and the 40 together for the use tax change, you know, you account for only $80,000 worth of that increase. That ended up being about $170,000 more than we expected. So the best way to show this, to illustrate this, is to take a smaller chart. Sorry, Rusty, I don't have this to email you yet, but I'll walk you through it later. So, but in general, you've got this spike here, which is a $565,000 month, okay? And then the next month, which is going to be off your budget report, is still $500,000. So things are just way up. You know, we think that either some of the sales tax methodology stuff is capturing more sales, or we had the one-time business that did the audit, you know, and the state thought that it was one-time. Maybe that's going to carry forward, or maybe every business in town is just doing gangbuster sales in October. I don't know. We won't know that for a few months. But, you know, we've never broken $500,000 in a month before.
Yeah.
Our previous highest was like $465,000, which was Christmas of last year, and now we've done $500,000 plus twice now for the past 2 months. So of note, okay, so you've got the peak here, and then it drops down to $500,000, which is the month that you'll review, you know, next month.
Yeah.
The use tax in that month did not change. So we were up like $90,000 from where we expected to be, which is like 20%, okay, year over year growth, and use tax went down $3,000. So long and short of it is we are in a COVID era type sales tax growth for 2 months, the last 2 months, that we can't explain, but it's more than double digit sales tax growth, you know, that we don't know is going to carry forward. So the good news is as these things continue to pile up and then we get the business by business data report, we're going to be able to say like, oh, you know, Target did something and their sales are way off, or this other business did something, or, you know, everybody was just up, you know, unilaterally. We don't know what's going on. But we've had, like, massive swings in revenue. So, and then just so you guys can all kind of see, this is a 25-year chart, you know, so it's every sales tax month from 2002 forward. And then this one is just, like, COVID specifically. And so the blue line is actual. The pink line is our modeling, which is just a smooth average, basically, like, the last 4 years of that month's figures. So we take, like, December of 20 to December of 21 to December 22 to December 23. We basically weight those, and then we say, well, December 24 should be, you know, somewhere within that range. So you can kind of just see how close our model has been over the years. And in 2019, it was pretty good. And before then, if you just look at the squiggly lines, you know, it was, I think, within, you know, a realm of tolerance there. But then you get to, you know, after May 20, you've got, this is July state receipts and June consumer sales. You know, the model starts to break there because we had stimulus payments in COVID era. And so everybody just started shopping locally. And so you see the blue line in fiscal year 21 and fiscal year 22, it's way above our model. You know, we were super conservative with it. And then everybody started, you know, to kind of, you know, spend locally. And then we tightened up the model in 22 and 23, so you can see the pink and blue lines are a little bit closer together, you know, so generally in line with what we expected. And then you see this giant peak that we had in fiscal year 25. So when we saw that number, we were like, what is up with this? This has to be incorrect. That turned out to not be the case. It is correct. Then we explained some of it away with that one-time business audit, and then some of it is explained away by the methodology change between use tax and sales tax. But again, the takeaway is we were up $170,000 more than we expected, which is like a 40% increase, and we can only explain about half of that to sales tax methodology or one use. So, you know, we're looking at right now the average of the 2 months since this occurred, like we're up $110,000 in a month, which is like a 25% increase. So whether or not that carries forward is a different story. And some of that eventually should be clawed back by use tax, but we're not seeing it yet. So I just, you know, and it doesn't explain all of it. You know, it's like we've explained 50% of it, but the other 50% of it is just maybe sales taxes are better. Maybe they're not. I don't know. So, you know, quite interesting news to receive. I think we figured this out like 2 weeks ago, you know, and then it was corroborated when the February report was released last week, you know, for us to be doing budget figures. So, you know, it's going to impact our projected fiscal year 25 number. Like, we're already expected to be up like $300,000 or $400,000. And I forgot to mention, all of this analysis is based on the 1% municipal sales tax only. Doesn't say anything about the non-home rule sales tax. So actually the impact could be double, because the use taxes and the way that they're switching the methodology, it actually is going to capture more non-home rule sales tax for us. So there won't be a corresponding use tax subtraction from a non-home rule sales tax increase. So, you know, so I'm just explaining one half of the ledger here, basically, and it's wildly positive. So, you know, so we're trying to factor that into the budget. So we've got projections that we're going to be up $300,000 or $400,000 in sales taxes for fiscal year 25, and then that resets our modeling for fiscal year 26, which we're trying to be conservative on because we only have 2 months of data so far. So we're increasing like another, you know, $300,000 or $400,000 next year, which I think is a 6% increase.
Yeah,
what we said.
Yeah, about there, yeah.
So, you know, that's double what we had expected, you know, a structural increase last year's 5-year budget. We assumed 2 to 3% increases every year. And here we are staring down like a 10% increase for fiscal year 25 potentially, and then like a 6% increase or more potentially in fiscal year 26. So something weird but good is happening, and we won't have, you know, more
certain
details.
Certain buildings get up before Christmas time. Certain buildings get up before Christmas time, like they like that increase it too.
Yep.
I just feel a little
cautious about. For sure, I can't explain something like this.
For sure.
Actually, I see with the recession and stuff, or, you know, the inflation and stuff, that yeah, might have been a lot different. I'm
well,
surprised.
I wonder if people were buying, like, I know I did this year, bought my Christmas presents early.
Yeah, there were October sales. Maybe some more of them got captured. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
So that's our sales tax story.
When is the when did we lose the lumberyard that we must have?
It was 2012, 2011, long time ago.
So we're 2010 to 2013, growing.
Actually, I think it might have even been before that, if I really think about it, because.
I took over in November of 2009. I think
okay.
I worked on it, but
yeah, it was more around that time.
So these earlier ones would be showing the sales tax for that.
For sure.
You know, because like it closed and then Target opened and was really going to full speed.
Oh, okay.
And
it was 2007 because
yes,
we said
yes.
Kendall Marketplace replaced
yes,
the sales
yes,
tax.
Yes.
So which has been several hundred thousand dollars between all the different businesses
yes.
there.
They kind of lost each other.
Yeah. Pro Build FE Wheaton was several hundred thousand dollars
yeah.
at the time too.
Right.
That was a wonderful
that was
swap.
A, like yeah.
We got very lucky because
yeah.
they were both like kind of.
Just some other things, I know we've talked about them, but it just kind of helps you look at the model. You can kind of see just like how it ebbs and flows over the year. So you always have a peak generally in like June, so beginning of summertime, and then obviously Christmas sales.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's definitely a valley in January, February, and March. And you can see that every year. You know, the model accounts for, you know, everything going down, and the actual numbers reflect that.
Does March,
so.
Does it pick up right like at the end of March?
So April would be the last dot before every fiscal year. So, you know, the April numbers are sometimes, usually, on par with the May numbers, and then it starts to increase after that.
About people
so.
Spend their tax returns?
That could be, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the weather warms up. People are doing projects in their houses then.
Right.
It's like you're feel
yeah.
more involved in that kind of stuff.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yes.
Information only, but
yeah,
Joe's gonna capture it at the meeting. Can like, so we can't.
Oh yeah, gotcha.
I'm taking
yeah.
copious notes. So. Thanks, Bob.
Yep.
Okay, new business item number two, ADM 2025-02, which is the treasury reports from November to January 2025.
So for the month ended November 30th, 2024, beginning fund balance of $33,399,009. Year-to-date revenues of $32,420,558. Year-to-date expenses of $33,109,627 for a projected ending fund balance of $32,709,940. For the month ended December 31st, 2024, beginning fund balance of $33,399,009. Year-to-date revenues of $36,298,728. Year-to-date expenses of $45,372,989 for projected ending fund balance of $24,324,748. For the month ended January 31st of 2025, beginning fund balance of $33,399,009. Year-to-date revenues of $39,169,168. Year-to-date expenses of $51,021,195. For a projected ending fund balance of $21,546,981.
That's good. Russ, any questions?
No questions.
Consent agenda? You guys move
mm-hmm.
on. Right. Consent agenda good with you, Rusty?
Yep.
All right, now you gotta read it.
Thanks, Rob.
Sure.
Next item, this is item number three, information item, EDM 2025-03, cash statements for October through November 2024.
And these are informational as always. The city's cash balances for the various funds and accounts are on the first page, and our investments are on the second.
Okay, good. Rusty?
No questions.
Excellent. And the next item. Here would be new business report A through 4F, which is our review of invoices between $5,000 or $25,000 to cover November 26th, December 10th, December 18th, January 14th, January 28th, and February 11th of 2025.
This is an informational item, as always. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Park Board actually goes through these. Tim highlights like their funds.
Oh, I'm sure.
And those guys will spend 30 minutes. They're actually checking where you pulled the numbers from and stuff. So
yeah, we highlighted for them.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's interesting.
That's awesome.
It's interesting. Yeah.
I'm glad they enjoy it.
Rusty, you got anything?
No, I'm good.
Okay. The only thing I noticed, because we talked about it last night, was the Matthewson right away.
Mm-hmm.
It started seeing those charges.
Yep.
There we go. A little action breakdown every other week. Perfect. Thank you.
Sure.
Website reports. It is 705 ADM 2025 05 from November 2024 through January 2025.
Informational item in the packet. I just looked at January because it has the most recent counts. We are in our downward trend for website hits. It's just because we don't have a lot of events going on this time of the year. Once the St. Patrick's Day advertising picks up, we expect our hits on our website to be picked up. We just started advertising that in the last couple of weeks. But I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have them.
That's good questions. Good. I just noticed the biggest monthly jump for all 3 months was the police's Facebook page. Is that normal that we typically see? Or has there been some exciting stuff going on with JJ and the group?
They seem to be more active lately.
They always have big items, especially like the feel-good items when, you know, you have officers going to the senior homes, playing the piano and that kind of thing, or lost puppies or found puppies,
right.
But they seem to have quite a huge following. But those feel-good stories always come across really good with the numbers.
Got it.
I posted about Star Wars the other day or whatever.
Yeah.
John,
yes.
John, or yeah.
Yes, it was funny.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
We got caught hiding again on Bridge Street.
Oh yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
A couple times out.
Yep.
It's pretty good.
Perfect. That's the only question I had.
Thank you.
Thanks, Aaron. So this one's right here. This one's exciting. New business item number 6, ADM 2025-06, our water rate for city buildings and other governmental activities ordinance.
So the ordinance in front of you would propose a special water rate for city buildings. The way it stands now, we do our water loss analysis. City buildings, we do track the usage. We don't bill ourselves, so it actually gets counted towards our loss. So since we already track this anyway, if we were to bill ourselves a special rate, which comes out to about $40 per year annually, and it's just the city paying the city, so it's not a true expenditure, it would cut off anywhere from 0.4% to even maybe 0.5% of water loss. So obviously it's not a panacea. We still have to spend millions of dollars in water main replacement, but you never know. It could make the difference as we get closer to the 10%. That extra half percentage point could play a pivotal role. And it's easy to do. We're already tracking it anyway, so it's not any more difficult to get set up to bill ourselves at this special rate. So that would apply to the buildings. Now, the other activities, such as firefighting activities, the sewer jetting, the street sweeping, and the manufacturing of road brine, we do track the water usage there. EEI has ensured that the state is going to let us do that, so it still may count towards our loss. But we're going to give it a try, see what happens, and maybe the state will allow us to do some of it or perhaps all of it. So
when they flush fire hydrants, that counts?
Well, that definitely doesn't. EEI was pretty adamant about that. But these other activities.
Is it just waste in it?
Yeah, you're just putting it out in the. Actually, it goes out and goes right down the drains.
Right, but. Like, it's. You have to do it, don't get me wrong.
Right,
if,
yeah.
If you don't, they're seeing it as a water loss, like it breaking. Versus here, if it's going into the building.
Yeah, I just was wondering if that gets factored into the center to the loss.
Yeah, it counts towards our loss, yeah. But we're hoping that some of these other activities they'll allow. So we'll see, and that could add another basis point. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, so that was my only question, was the 14.8 to 14.4 is factoring what we know they'll allow us to make the argument on there, but we're actually tracking these other four could potentially add.
Correct, right, yep.
Perfect. Questions? Ben?
Yep, I'm good.
Rusty? I think there's going to be any discussion or consent, but...
Try consent. Yeah. Hopefully nobody told them.
All right. Good with that, Rusty?
Yep.
Thanks, Rob.
Sure.
New business item number 7, ADM 2025-07, office furniture purchase.
Yeah, so group this into two categories. One is things that we kind of told you about several months ago when we were closing out budget analysis for this project. Things like credenzas, lateral filing cabinets, some wardrobe cabinets for different people, some furniture, you know, for lobbies and stuff that we determined after we moved in that we needed. We got quotes on at the time and just never authorized it, and now we're ready to discuss it. And so that's generally going to be items 2, 3, 4, and 5 on the memo, you know, of things that we told you about previously. The two items that we haven't told you about, so that's the other category, one is number one, which is 13 movable conference room tables like these ones. What's happening is JJ and others will use the conference or the council chamber for training, so they need desks to be able to do some types of training. And you can fit 50 or 60 people seated in there, not even using the dais. You can actually put more in there. And they have used that, but what happens is in order to do that, they have to pull all these tables into there, which then prevents us from using it, you know, from using this room, basically. So the 13, you know, for 13 tables for about $22,000 would include 5 powered tables. Maybe we can put more powered tables in here because I think right now we've only got one plug. And then would allow them to basically run training in there without completely decimating every conference room. So we see that as like a good long-term purchase type of thing, if that's in one category. And then the others is just turning the conference room that's in between the mayor and my office into cubicles. We have not really used that space at all since we've moved in. I think I've had 2 meetings in there. The room is a little bit narrower than here, so you can't fit as many people in there. And, you know, quite frankly, if I've got 3 or 4 people, you know, into a meeting, I'm either just going to do it in here and take up the entire space or do it in my office type of thing. It's just a better setup. So we have added employees since we moved into the building. So we have a payroll benefits specialist who's currently sitting in community development. So we want to give her a desk up on this floor. And then there's just other people that we'll end up hiring over the years. And so I'd prefer to just get all 4 desks, build out that room completely, and then you've got room for future space down the road, including for like Kathy when she's in here. She doesn't have a desk space, and we can give her a cubicle now, you know, until, or Megan, you know, depending on what week it is. And so that's 4 desks for about $16,000. So all together, it's just shy of $60,000, if I remember correctly. Rob did the analysis, didn't have a reason to do a budget amendment for this because we have money left over in building and grounds and citywide capital for the project. And so we're recommending to purchase it and then complete, hopefully, the final pieces of this building. Oh, I forgot to mention, same vendor that we used, same type of table. This is being done under a state procurement contract. So theoretically, the prices are bid out among the state, and then we get the state price in for it. So.
Questions? Rusty, question?
So it's, for 13 cables, it's $22,000? Did I hear that right?
I was surprised, yeah. The powered ones are more than $1,000 per table, and then the unpowered ones are still right around $1,000.
And these are willable, right?
They are, yeah. They lock. Yeah, they flip up for easy storage, too. So, definitely not cheap, but yeah, this is what we picked out from, you know, the remainder of the building.
So, Rusty, the non-power tables are $1,254, and the power tables are $1,830.
Yep.
Five power tables, $8.
Yep.
And...
All right, well, I guess that's the price of poker, huh? So.
I guess we could use them for that.
I was thinking that exactly.
Yeah, we haven't set them up because there's only two plugs on each table too, so it's just not ideal for us.
But people always come here and they're trying to figure out. We're gonna like, no, I don't think they work.
No, we did say that within budgeting, no amendments needed for that.
Right? Correct.
But it is super majority.
Correct.
Anyways, so,
yep.
Standard agenda. We're good.
It's went through the kitchen cabinets at the other place. I had power.
It was a power strip velcroed to the, you know, the facade of it. But yes, we did. We've regressed.
Don't we have power out there?
Huh?
I don't have to run anything ever. Yeah, we do.
We're out there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's a strip, power strip out there.
Me and Matt, like, first thing we do is plug into the strip.
Yep.
And Craig now has been in there, so three of us plugged in there.
I don't have any questions besides that, for sure. Okay. Rusty, any other questions?
Nope, that's all I have.
All right. And so yeah, standard adjustment for that category. And new business item number 8, 2025-08, salary range.
Okay, so you guys approved these last year, and again, you don't have to approve them. It's just nice for me to be able to have some consensus. If we have vacancies, I have to go out for a position, so that everybody understands what the market rate for these positions are. So for fiscal year 26, we are proposing to increase everything just by 5% across the board. So that'll make the minimums of the range, which is really where we post at if there's a job opening, and the maximum of the range, which kind of governs, you know, the maximum we would hire somebody at theoretically if they had, you know, 30 years of service or whatever. We did do an analysis and managed to get I think 6 out of our 10 or so external comparables, so that's our neighboring towns, to figure out where they paid. And generally when I looked at it, everyone was within a couple percentage points of kind of what we did last year, because last year we did go through and we adjusted almost every range so that it was externally competitive. And so this year, we haven't really fallen outside of being, you know, competitive salary-wise. So just recommended to do 5% across the board, which is generally what we're going to recommend for non-union employees in the next budget. And then all of the unions currently have a 5% escalator in their contracts for next year. So we thought that was reasonable. Additionally, there is one new salary range in there for the Economic Development Coordinator, which is position we're proposing to hire, obviously here in the next couple weeks with an internal employee. And we did do the salary analysis for that one. It did come up slightly higher than what we're paying. You know, so if we do future you know, analysis of market comparative competitiveness, we might have to increase that. But for now, we're comfortable leaving it more towards the entry-level position. Because the employee that we would propose to hire has not worked in economic development yet. So we felt that was reasonable, at least for the time being. Everything else is the same.
Questions? Rust?
No questions.
Okay, I'm going to do this one. Good sense.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do one. Rusty, have a good night. Aaron, have a good night.
Thanks.